Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you as we begin this week that changed all weeks. Bless us as we come to you and listen to your word and hear all the goodness that you give to us, especially tonight as we hear the way in which you overcome the slavery and the dominion of sin in our lives and in this world. And we ask for your blessings and your Holy Spirit's guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem, and in an amazing, violent, and yet spectacular way, he accomplished the mission that God had given to him to save the world from sin. My sermon tonight is kind of a twin with next Sunday's sermon, the Easter sermon. These two sermons are kind of like bookends on this great week. This week in Jesus' life, to which the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give a full one-third of all of their words to these few days in which so many great and important things happen. Here's a passage from St. Paul's letter to the Romans that beautifully describes how Jesus, in his death and resurrection, has overcome the slavery and the dominion of sin. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Last night, Friday evening, we had our profession of faith service here. And that service is for our young people who are Sunday going to be affirming their faith publicly in their confirmation. And I began the service, or at least the message, by pointing out we are all here because we believe in God. We don't believe that life is an accident. We know it has a purpose, and that purpose is to love God, to know God just as He loves and knows us. But we're also here, also this evening, ourselves, because we know that there's also a terrible problem in the world, a problem in our own hearts, the problem of sin. We see it every day. We can't escape it from the headlines where we see so much injustice, jealousy, hatred, violence, and so on. And even in our own personal lives, we struggle. We can try to put it down and we can talk ourselves into this idea that everything's okay, and yet lingering in the background, there's this sense that maybe not everything is okay. And we just don't have that peace with God that we want to have. We need help, and that help is exactly what Jesus came to give us. You know, many people think that there is really no such thing as sin, let alone slavery to sin. They think that God and Jesus and Christianity are just stories that people made up a long time ago to help us cope with and get through and comfort us in the struggles of life. They say that what we really need to do in life is trust in ourselves, trust in humanity, look to the progress that we make in education and technology and government, and this will eventually make the world a wonderful place for everyone. And yet the clear evidence and the reality is that that is the greatest myth that anyone has ever thought of before. In spite of the great progress that we have made in civilization decade and century after century, the fact remains that there continues to be moral regress as well. Greed, oppression, dishonesty, theft, abuse, violence, despair, hopelessness. We cannot solve these problems ourselves. We are struggling. The world is struggling. And no matter how we approach it, we are not going to solve those problems with our own efforts and by our own humanity. When I was a little boy in school, this was the way we solved, at least temporarily, some of the problems of sin. A little boy who had a little trouble speaking out of turn might have to spend his recess at the chalkboard writing, "I will not talk out of turn. I will not talk out of turn. I will not talk out of turn." Maybe 25. You know, if this was third or fourth offense, maybe 35, maybe 50 times. And yeah, temporarily, it might have had some effect on that boy to remember not to do that again. But sooner or later, he would revert back to his natural desires, as we all do. We cannot stop that problem of sin on our own, either by punishing ourselves or punishing others or blaming others. If we struggle with gossip or pornography or anger or with manipulation, you can tell yourself all day long, "I need to stop, I will stop." Sooner or later, we will find ourselves always falling back under that dominion, under that slavery of sin. This is why Jesus is so important. He comes with a radical solution to the problem of sin. His radical solution is to die. Not only for himself to die, but for all of us to die as well. Listen to these familiar verses from Matthew chapter 16. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We die to it. We die to the problem of sin by admitting it, by giving up our power to control it or to overcome it, and then to seek God's power that He gives to us in Jesus. You see, Jesus was tempted in every way, the Bible says, as we are. Jesus was tempted to hatred. He was tempted to lust. He was tempted to laziness. But Jesus, not only bound to the Ten Commandments like all of us as well, Jesus had an even higher command that none of us have had to face. And that's the command to lay down His life as a ransom for the whole world. That was His greatest temptation, to stop loving us, to save His own life, and to let us perish, to let us lose out on our forgiveness and our salvation. But Jesus, in His faithfulness, as the eternal Son of God, powered through those temptations and all of that evil with His faith and with His love. And in that victory, in laying down His own life in innocence for our guilt, He gave us a new power, a faith, a grace that enables us to die to sin, and in dying and living by faith to overpower it, to have forgiveness and the power to be free from the slavery and from the dominion of sin in our lives. Let's talk about what that really means, though, because I don't want you to be misled at all. It does not mean that we have now, because we've become Christians, we've been baptized, because we believe in Jesus, it doesn't mean that from that moment on we stop sinning. We will continue to sin, but there is a great difference. The difference is that we will not love that sinning, and we will not excuse ourselves in that sinning, and we will not live in those sins. What Paul calls walking in the newness of life, St. John calls walking in the light. Listen to this passage from 1 John chapter 1. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." This is an illustration that I use in all of my teachings on this subject of the freedom from the slavery of sin. I have to step out from the pulpit here to show you how this works. Imagine for a moment that a light, a brilliant light, is shining from that cross. And that light is God's Word and God's grace and God's mercy and His power. When we are born in this world, we are born like this, our backs to God, our backs to the light of His Word and His grace and His forgiveness. That's the way we live our lives. We walk away from God. And every step we take is into the shadow. The shadow that, of course, is cast from that light of the cross. That's a lost condition. And the farther we walk, the farther away from God we are, and the worse things get for us in our lives. When the Holy Spirit turns us around, and that's what conversion is, that's what forgiveness is, it's a complete turning around. And instead of walking away from God and hating God, we look to God and we look at our sins and we renounce them. We say, that's not the way for me to walk anymore. That will destroy me. God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. And every step I take in life now, I walk in the light, like John says. I walk in the blood of Christ that's shed for me for the forgiveness of my sins. But I still have a shadow, and that shadow is right there. That shadow is right there at my heels. And what that means is that sometimes Satan will come along and trip me, he will deceive me, and I will slip, or sometimes I'll veer a little bit away from the light of God's Word. But because God has called me and made me His own, He will quickly restore me again with the Word of God. He'll restore me in repentance and in forgiveness. And I will continue to walk in the direction of His life and of His salvation. Sin will not have power over me. It might have a momentary wound that it causes in my life, but God, by His grace, will help me to quickly recover from that. We don't solve, see, this problem of sin by ignoring or thinking it doesn't exist, as I said before, or punishing ourselves or punishing others, blaming others. Instead, it is always overcome by repentance and forgiveness. And I do that constantly in my life, and I hope that you do it constantly in your life as well. Every day, sometimes several times a day, I look at things that I regret and I say, Lord, forgive me and help me now to walk the way that you want me to walk. Most of the time, those prayers are over what you might consider little sins, but you know, in God's eyes, all sins are important. So even the littlest ones are vitally important for us to be repentant about. But sometimes the sins are bigger too. And I have many of those in my life, but I want to share one with you, because the bigger the sin, the more relief the forgiveness is that we experience. When I was studying as a student at the seminary, one day I went to the bookstore. Love bookstores, shelves of books lined up and aisles between the shelves. And another student and I were in this looking at some books at the seminary, and we started talking about one of our professors. He's a really good professor, but he was kind of old-fashioned. And I said, you know, sometimes Dr. Keel, he's a little condescending, you know, kind of treats us like children. And we were just kind of having that conversation, you know, back and forth a little bit. And I walked out of the end of that aisle and I started to go down to the next aisle. And dear God, guess who was standing right there? Dr. Keel. Oh, it was like a knife went right through my heart. Thinking to myself, oh, you know, so many regrets. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And I just bolted out of there and walked. But I stewed about that for a couple of days until finally I just knew what I had to do. I asked God for forgiveness, and then I marched over to His office, said, Dr. Keel, I got to tell you something. I'm terribly sorry. A couple of days ago I was in the bookstore, got in a conversation with somebody about you, and I said some things I wish I'd never said about you. I'm really sorry. And he looked at me and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I still don't know to this day whether he was just lying to me a little bit to make me feel better or not. But I'll tell you what, I felt 100% better. That's what Paul means by not being a slave to sin. It catches you momentarily. It rips up your life for a little bit. But because of God's grace, it doesn't hold on to you. It has no teeth anymore. And it can't drag you down and it can't destroy you. That's the beauty of what Paul's talking about, of what Holy Week is all about, of why Jesus came to Jerusalem. why he went all through those things that we're going to think about this week as we think about Jesus giving those hard-hitting parables that he gave at the temple, about his suffering and death on the cross, and of course, Sunday morning we celebrate coming together again to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. All of that is to give us this freedom from the power of sin. I want to close by referring to the stained glass window behind me here. That stained glass window has a number of symbols in it, but the one symbol I want to draw your attention to especially is the water of baptism that's flowing in that side of the window, and it flows over here on this side of the window as well. We asked the artist, Steve Erstbaumer, to make the window in that way because it was a reminder to us that the forgiveness of God's Word, centered in His Word, but in baptism and in the Lord's Supper and in everything, is something that's always part of our lives. It's always flowing in and out. It's washing away our sins constantly. And because of that, we have this freedom from the slavery and from the dominion of sin. What a beautiful and blessed and radical gift God has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is what gives us the peace that passes understanding. That's what gives us the hope and the joy in the face of all the troubles and struggles and difficulties of this life, those which we unfortunately bring upon ourselves sometimes, but those also which get dumped upon us by others, and especially those which Satan himself would inflict upon us. Jesus frees us from that power of sin. Amen. Please rise and let us close again with prayer. Dearest Jesus, thank you for your radical solution to the problem of evil in this world by giving yourself over to it and dying in it and yet overcoming it in your faithfulness, your love, and your righteousness, breaking its bonds and its power over us and over this world. Continue to bless us and be with us, Lord, as we continue to walk in the light of your word. Until you take us from this life, and as we'll hear next Sunday especially, giving us the ultimate victory over death itself in eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.